Welcome back to hour number three of Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrara. We're really pleased now to be joined by Mike Keith, Director of Broadcasting for the Tennessee Titans. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing Gates hotline. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm fine. What's going on?
Well, a little bit. I know you love college football.
I do.
Your thoughts on the Big Ten and the Pac-12 deciding to postpone playing football in the fall with the possibility of playing in the spring?
You know, the first thing I think is, so I was watching Dan Patrick yesterday morning, and Dan Patrick's got some pretty good sources. While things kind of swung around in a lot of different ways, what he said yesterday morning turned out to be 100% true, that these two conferences would cancel today, and that, you know, then the rest of them will have a tremendous amount of discussion to go on. I think as we sort of delve into it, there's so many issues that kind of factor into what the decision was. But I think the big one that has always worried me, and I'm certainly not someone who wanted to see college football not be played. As you mentioned, I'm the opposite. But I've always been worried about the whole dynamics of the college campus and the things that they can't control within a college campus. I mean, the fact of the matter is they can control the programs, and they can control the young men and the other athletes who are taking part, but they can't control everybody else there, and they can't control who's coming and going because they can't say to a student from say Nashville, who's on the University of Tennessee campus, you can't go home for the weekend. It was just always worrisome. I thought the high schools and the NFL probably had better overall models because they didn't have to deal with the campus and all that you can't control. And let's face it too. I mean, we're just not getting good news about where the COVID thing is right now or where it's going. I mean, if we were hearing some upside right now, I think that would take it in a different direction. So, you know, that was what it just in talking to people 3 months ago, that's what has always worried me about the process was the process of the campus. You can't sequester the athletes completely from the rest of the student body. And I understand the logic on all sides, and I understand the disappointment. But you know, as a parent, I've got a son who's on a college campus right now. He does not live on the campus. You know, he's in a house. He's a senior. He's got some guys who live with him. They have decided that they're going to be very safe. Only one of his classes is meeting in person. But as a dad, I'm still worried. You know, and I think that's the part of it is these are not things, these are young people. And it's somebody's son and somebody's daughter, and keeping that in mind I think has to be a big part of it.
The Big 12, it's being reported by Sports Illustrated, is split on its decision about whether or not to play this fall. Do you think the Big 12's decision would go a long way in determining whether the SEC or the ACC play?
Sounds like it would for the ACC. I don't know what where the Southeastern Conference is on all of this right now. I mean, it's tough. It's going to be tough PR-wise to be a standalone to play. It's going to be hard to justify. And again, these decisions aren't made by athletic directors. You know, They aren't made by chancellors. They're made by presidents who have to look at the whole school system, the whole university system that they're in. It's just complicated. I mean, there are so many parts that complicate all of this. And when I see folks sort of focus on one issue of it, either positively or negatively, however you see it, it's so much more broad-based. I don't know. I think when these two have pulled the plug like they have, it's hard to see other presidents choosing to step out there and take this on in that way. So, you know, I think it could happen. I think, you know, there's talk that there are schools in the Big Ten especially who may go off on their own and may try to join with other people to play. But that's a more profound effect because suddenly, you know, for the athletic department folks to feel that way, you know, they've got to consider what happens with the rest of our sports on the men's and women's side if we decide to go outside of our own conference and basically thumb our nose at our conference leadership. Then what happens going forward? You know, Ohio State and Michigan football aren't the only two Big Ten sports. You know, there are a lot of other sports that factor into being part of the Big Ten. And so while that sounds good in theory, I think when you dig deeper to really take that step would be something even more extreme.
Mike, well, last thing from me on this subject, and we'll get to some NFL and some Titans with you, but I wonder what you think about this concept of spring football that these conferences are discussing. Is this just a placeholder so your university seems more appealing and to give maybe the players something to still look forward to? Because there's so many challenges that come with spring football that you obviously know. The more you think about it, the more, you know, it seems like it's maybe its own pipe dream. How do you view spring football in college?
Are you asking me, could I sell it?
Yeah.
You bet I could, because I think what it does, I mean, who do you know that's a football fan that ever says there's too much football? You ever met anybody like that?
You ever met anybody who turns
off the... Well, yeah. Well, Melody's smarter than all of us, so that's a different story. We're not talking about incredibly smart people like her.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Let's eliminate them. Let's talk about us.
Let's talk about us.
Yeah.
But I mean, you think about, do you know anybody turns off the Super Bowl and says, man, I'm glad this is over? No. I mean, you think any Tennessee fan, I watched the end of the Gator Bowl today. That's kind of how sick I am. I've watched it three or four times. And all I could think when that game was over is, man, I wish we had another game this week. You know, yeah. I wish there was another game. And, you know, because when your team's on a 6-game win streak, at that point, you're saying, man, let's go play some more. So I think it's going to be a little bit freaky if they do it. I don't think it's going to be 11 or 12 games. I don't think everybody's going to choose to play. But I think it will be incredibly entertaining. I think the viewership and the listenership will be massive. I think for the sponsors, it is an amazing opportunity. Yeah, when I started talking to people about this 3 months ago, and I was immediately a fan because – I think this gives college football its chance on a national level that it maybe has never even had before. And in the South, and in particular where we live, our thoughts about college football are different than the rest of the country. The pro football is so much bigger nationwide than college football. But in the South, college football is bigger than pro football. So it's as if now if we have spring football and the whole country has a chance to see it in the way we see it as college football, and I love the NFL, obviously. I've worked in the NFL over 20 years. I get why the NFL is so big. But the point is to have this opportunity to have it stand alone, I think college football comes out of it stronger and bigger as it moves forward into 2021, 2022, and so on and so forth. So could I sell it? You bet I could. Could I be excited about it? You bet I could.
From a consumer standpoint, I totally agree with you. But what about in terms of a execution, safety standpoint, all the players Listen, opting out, all that kind of thing?
That's what we're dealing with all over, you know, in the NFL. I mean, everything is going to be – if you're going to take it, let's put it this way. If you're going to take everything that's going to go on and pick it apart, I mean, this year isn't going to make any sense. And I get that. I mean, we go to Denver and get a chance to play the Broncos, and there are no fans there, and we win the game 11 months after going out there and being shut out because, in part, you couldn't hear yourself think. I mean, it's not the same, but it's what we got. And mm-hmm. I think where the NFL has gotten to in all of this, I think they've done three things really well in this process. A, they have continually kept moving forward, never shut down, had the free agency, had the draft, things like that. Number two, they've never gotten into hypotheticals. They have refused to get into that. And number three, the other part of it is they have always been aimed towards playing the first game September 10th, no matter what. Okay? So we're going to have to do this different, that different. It's going to be kind of screwed up. They don't care. They're saying we're going to have to change. We're going to have to be flexible. Guys, when the leagues went to the conference only schedule, when that was talked about, that was the first sign it was bad. That was, people said, how did this just now happen? Well, that was the first sign it was bad, because immediately these conferences were having to go to a very big plan B. You know, that was a major compromise at this point. It wasn't a bad idea. It was a good idea, but it showed that they were in a bad way because they had to make that massive of a change. The NFL has had to make changes, but hasn't had to make as many. And the NFL's fiscal model, and the fact that we don't deal with college campuses and everything that goes on in that ecosystem, obviously makes it very, very different. Yeah, I mean, it's probably 8 or 9 games. They're talking about starting, what, March the 25th? Probably play your BCS championship, if you have one, sometime in May or early June. May move the draft back a little bit. Certainly might make the... you know, the fall schedule a little different the following fall. But if it happens, I think the hunger for it will be such, it will be amazing.
Our guest, Mike Keith, Director of Broadcasting, Tennessee Titans. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline. When we come back, we will have more with Mike. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. With Vince Farrar, I'm Jimmy Heim. Sports Talk, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The runaway number one in East Tennessee for sports. We are 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Hines, along with Vince Farrar, our guest, Mike Keith, Tennessee Titans, brought to you on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. Mike, I wanted to get your take on this. So there's... I'm hearing things all over the map in terms of attendance at college games. I'm hearing that 20% at Georgia, roughly 20% at Tennessee. Ray Tanner at South Carolina came out and said that their capacity is going to be 24.6%. I'm not quite sure how he got to that number. But I wonder, from the NFL, what are you hearing about attendance? Because I've seen some different things from different teams, and I wonder if the commissioner is going to come out and say, this is the number, it's 20%, it's 25% across the board. What are you hearing in that regard?
No, that's not how it's going to go. It's going to be according to the municipalities. If Metro Nashville and the state of Tennessee feel good about us having a half full stadium, that's what we'll have. And so you're going to end up with situations where some teams have already determined, Las Vegas, and the two New York teams that play in New Jersey, they're going to have no fans. Some people will have 20%. I think the Ravens are talking about 12,000 to 13,000 fans. You know, we may end up with no fans. We may end up half full, or we may end up somewhere in between. I think if people have fans this year, I think it's going to be a socially distant crowd where they set up a plan and they say, okay, here's what it looks like. Here's how many seats we have. And they will rotate through various season ticket members who want to buy tickets for a set number of games. In other words, if you want three games, then you'll get these three games. You'll be seated here in these same spots. May not be your exact seat, but they will set it up to socially distance. I think it's also very possible that we don't have anybody. And the only thing that will come as far as attendance is if at some point the league, in hearing the municipalities talk, just step in and say no fans whatsoever. And I think anything's on the table right now. But what we know is nobody's going to be close to capacity in 2020. And if you get to have fans, you're probably lucky.
I was reading a story about NFL teams. It might have been actually a tweet from Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. NFL teams were bracing for the possibility of no college football this fall. Therefore, they have studied a lot of film or tape from 2019. And that's all fine and good. But do you think, if there is no college football, that could lead to perhaps more misses in terms of drafting players?
Yes. I mean, 100%, Jimmy. No college football in the fall is bad for the NFL. There are people who say, oh, well, you get to put the games on Saturdays, you'll have massive audiences. Here's a newsflash. The NFL already has massive audiences on TV. You know, the number one show on TV is Sunday Night Football. It's been 9 years in a row. I mean, this is not new. So, okay, so I think they'll put some games on Saturdays to help their television partners. But the NFL does not want this. There is no great benefit. There is no behind the scenes, you know, ignore the man behind the curtain with the NFL, you know, giving the sinister laugh. This is bad. This is bad for football, period. Let's take the health thing out of it. We're on a sports show right now, and let's just talk ball. This is bad for football. Guys aren't getting to play college football. Makes them hard to evaluate, makes them hard to see how guys grow, how guys develop. Was a guy 1 year flash? Did a guy gain weight? Did a guy lose weight? What happens? And this, with the salary cap going down even more, Jimmy, next year, $23 million, the draft becomes more important. So now the draft becomes more important, and you don't know as much about the players you're going to end up drafting. Because if they play in the spring, they're going to be guys who know they're going to be drafted. High draft picks are going to sit out. You know they are. It's already happened. So, yeah, it's bad. I mean, it's bad for the league. It's bad for football. And it's not good for the NFL. I don't think anybody in NFL circles would tell you publicly or privately this is a good thing.
And even for the individual players on what you can do in 1 year to change your fortunes, Joe Burrow tweeted, and it was so accurate, I might be looking for a job right now if this happened a year ago. I mean, that is a perfect example, and there are many others.
Joe Burrow's a day three pick based on what he did a year ago. Joe Burrow is probably, I would say he may be a late day two, maybe a third or fourth round pick based on upside. I mean, you think about Jared Stidham, right? Well, I mean, that's about how Joe Burrow was viewed. You know, and maybe not even as well. Because Jared Stidham had played in offenses and had played for offensive coaches. I mean, Jared Stidham, if he had come out the year before, he would have gone higher than he did last year because Auburn's offense was not as good in 2018 as it was in 2017. That's 100% right. I mean, Joe Burrow made so much money in the 2019 season. And how many guys do it? Darrell Taylor made a bunch of money. I mean, think about Darrell Taylor has a nice 2018. he comes back, he plays through an injury, but he's productive enough. He still leads Tennessee in sacks, and look where he is now. I mean, he's got a nice house and a nice car. Life's good for him. If it had just been based on 1 year of production, it would not have happened. So, I mean, that's 100% true. There are always hundreds of examples of players who take themselves in 1 year's time to a completely different place.
Mike, I talked to VFL Morgan Cox today from the Ravens, and we'll play that interview later this week. But he kind of took me through his day, and it was so interesting to hear all of the measures that are in place and the frequency of testing and temperature and questionnaires and stuff like that. If you elaborate on that for the players now that you've had maybe a little bit more time to kind of learn what those guys go through in trying to get those practices in that they are now.
Yeah, so today is the last day of the acclimation period. Tomorrow they will start 5 days of practice as units, not together, as units in helmets. So it's almost like the high school acclimation period right before they, you know, go into camp and go into pads. But, you know, they're coming into the building at various times. They're divided into groups. They come into the building at various times. The first stop is the testing trailer. We have a testing trailer. And so they have to go through that process. All of the questions that you have to answer. And if anybody's going to work in an office right now, they know exactly what I'm talking about. They take your temperature. Have you had the sniffles? Have you felt badly? Are you achy? Have you got a sore throat? All of that business. And then you've got to make sure the hands are washed, you're masked up, and then you're ready to go. And now instead of going into meeting rooms, our guys are going into our bubble, because that's the only area that they can safely socially distance in terms of room. The coaches are wearing headset microphones because they're not close enough to the players for them to hear all of them. And so your position meetings, your team meetings are taken that way. When it's time to go work out, you do it in a small group. When it's time to go to lunch, you go and you do it in a small group. Once walkthrough's over, you get a shower. They go in small groups to get to the shower. The lockers are divided by 4-foot plexiglass extensions, so nobody can, you know, get in your space. It's got to be a rough time for people who are close talkers right now, I would think. I would think that is just brutal on those folks, because nobody wants to be around a close talker. It's really, and that's a lot of what the first 2 weeks have been. The first 2 weeks have been a big part of the process where guys are getting used to this process. So today, unlike 2 weeks ago, it doesn't feel weird anymore. This is what you do. And this is why the players wanted the preseason set up the way it is with no games. And this is why the teams acquiesced, because they knew that all of these things, which are so laborious in terms of the steps, you know, can throw off a team that's used to a normal routine. Now this is the normal routine and they're used to it.
Our guest Mike Keith, Tennessee Titans. He joins us on the Stanley Fenson Gates hotline. When we come back, we'll have more with Mike. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. With Vince Ferrara, I'm Jimmy Himes, Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Hey, I'm Ball for Life, Bobby Scott, and we're counting it down. It's just
46 days until it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go Hawks! Send.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrar, our guest, Mike Keith with the Tennessee Titans. Mike, I want to go back to this, which I think is pretty interesting. So Barry Alvarez with Wisconsin, their athletic director, he said, one, there will be layoffs without football this fall. He also said that they can still implement a 20-hour rule. How do you think that would go over with players to have it? Now, not all of it's going to be brutal practices, I get that. But the question is, why is it okay to practice for up to 20 hours a week and then not play games? I find that pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, how they manage the next 5 months and how the specific conferences choose to handle it. And right now we're talking about the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. What are they going to say they can and can't do? Because, you know, the contention of most of the coaches is the players are better off being within a program. And I think, by and large, that's true. Again, it comes back to, you know, what does the campus look like? And that's a lot of the whole safety issue. I don't think the playing football part of it is the worst part of this. And I think for some people who say, well, why is playing football the problem? I don't think playing football is the problem. I think it's everything else that goes with being on a college campus and dealing with a lot of things as an athlete. But, yeah, I mean, are they going to be able to practice for, you know, all fall, or will they set it up where, you know, they have a four-week period where they have a spring practice? Do they just train? I don't know. It's a great question. I mean, it's like everything else with COVID-19 is when you open one door, four more things pop up. And that's what the newest thing is with the Big Ten and with Pac-12.
Mike, with the Titans, any sort of sense in you know, how they're – have you gotten a chance to talk to any of the players yet? Because I know you hadn't last time I talked to you, in how they feel about, you know, the preparations for this season, with it being very unusual and still sort of doing that ramp up with – the acclimation period you mentioned.
So I had an opportunity to do four interviews for TV, for our TV shows, which start in 2 weeks. And Taylor Lewan was probably the most interesting, which is stunning. I know he's never interesting about anything. But I think, yeah, he just doesn't give. You know, you have to pull it out of it. What was most interesting among all four, and they're very different personalities, the four players, but just how excited they are to be back doing something normal, how much they appreciate the game and how much they appreciate their jobs and how much they've missed their teammates and their coaches and how thrilled they are to be back together. I think a lot of them are scared because they have, in the case of three of them, they have kids, and so they're nervous, you know, about all of that. We've got some good leadership on our team in terms of making people follow the rules. Dennis Kelly, who's known as the Undertaker, it's his idol in life is Mark Calloway, the Undertaker. And so he's the mask police, the mask enforcer, the mask dictator. Big about the social distancing thing, getting on guys about that. And I think you have a lot of people who are socially responsible in all of this, knowing that if they go off the grid, so to speak, in terms of what we've seen with some players in other sports, that everybody gets damaged. And so, I mean, it scared may not be the right word. It may be just, respectful or leery of the virus and what it can mean short term and long term, and, you know, for members of their family as well. So it was very different. I mean, very different than I've ever heard from a player at any level, to spend time with them, Vince, and to have what amounted to very deep conversations. Not like talking to your normal 24-year-old who just bought his first Mercedes-Benz. Talking with guys about real life stuff and how they're trying to navigate all of this and what they want to do. To a man, though, the four guys I talked to are very pleased with the protocols. They are very pleased with the safety, are very pleased that the health is being considered. And for me, you know, that made me really feel good. You want these people to feel like they're being taken care of. And the four guys I spoke with all really felt that way.
Good. Mike, Deion Sanders has always been pro player. He's always had the players' backs in so many different issues. What did you make? And by the way, I saw a story that he's not going to return to the NFL Network this year. But what did you make of his criticism of players deciding to opt out?
I have no idea. I don't get him. I mean, of all the people on TV, he's the one that I'm most confused. You know, a couple years ago, he didn't even know who Kevin Byard was when Kevin Byard was a Pro Bowl guy. And I don't know. I read that, and I was really confused. I've never sort of gotten where he – you know, with certain guys, you understand the viewpoint of where they're coming from. You know, because, I mean, so I don't think agenda is the right word. It's like viewpoint. Let's put it that way, right? What's their viewpoint? I get it. I mean, I get Randy Moss's viewpoint, which 20-something years ago, I never thought that would have happened.
me either.
I know, right? But, I mean, all of them, I sort of know where they're coming from. I've never known what he was really talking about in terms of his – I mean, it just seemed like he was always being prime time. You know what I'm saying? And he was a great player. I mean, no doubt about it. But I don't know. I don't know why he felt the need to criticize play. I mean, the game will go on without you, and it's like, well, yeah. I mean, I think they know that. I mean, I just didn't get it. And the NFL Network reportedly offered him a pay cut, and he balked, and, you know, we'll go ahead and move on with him without him.
The NFL Network will go on without him.
The NFL will go on without him, yes. Yes.
Right. Do you have much interest in Hard Knocks this year with the LA teams?
Yes. I mean, I always do. But I want to see what they're doing. The fact that Ray Donovan is the guy who voices Hard Knocks is...
yeah.
I think that's one of the greatest... That's one of the great things. I love Ray Donovan, by the way. Anybody who listens to your show doesn't know what that is. Ray Donovan is a great show. And yeah. Liev Schreiber actually is the VO guy for that, which is just so hard to, you know, one of the reasons that I watch Hard Knocks is I'm like, Ray Donovan saying this about, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals. It's so well done. I mean, it's so... well put together and well thought out, and I'm dying to see, you know, exactly how all the episodes all the way through will be edited, how they will handle so many of the changes. I mean, it's just fascinating. So yeah, I'm a huge Hard Knocks fan. I'm hoping someday that someone with the Tennessee Titans wants to do it and we get selected. I would be all for that. I got to witness some of it when we went to practice against the Falcons a few years ago, and it was fascinating to see the crews and what they're trying to shoot and how much work goes into it. And what everybody says is after the first couple of days, they just blend in. They are so good at what they do. I had a chance to work with a guy at Tennessee named Mike Moore, and then still do some work with Barry Rice and Link Hudson and Tom Giffens and Ross Goodman and Stacia Patterson and that crew over at UT. And they have that same sort of feel as the NFL Network folks. And I know Tennessee fans feel very lucky that they have people like that who bring them inside and show them this side of it. And I love it on the NFL level as well. I'm just a fan. I mean, what can I say?
By the way, if either Los Angeles team has a problem, Ray Donovan can fix it. We know that.
He can fix it in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah. His way. His way, yeah.
His way with the baseball bat.
That's right. When we come back, we'll have more with Mike Keith of the Tennessee Titans. He joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Heim. Sports Talk 99.1, the sports animal.
Com. In your car, in your office, in your house, in your shower. Yeah! 99.1, the sports animal. Pass the body wash.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar. Our guest, Mike Keith, Tennessee Titans. He joins us on the Stanley Fenton Gates Hotline. Mike, we've got a solution, by the way, for the national championship in college football. It comes from the one and only Steve Spurrier, who apparently called in to Pat Dooley's radio show down in Gainesville and said, let the SEC and the ACC go ahead and play their conference schedule, then play for the national championship, because one of those teams is going to win it anyway. There you go.
Fair. Yeah, absolutely. unless it's Ohio State, you know. I mean, that's right. If Ohio State goes to the ACC, I think that might be like 100% true. Yeah. So Oklahoma might have something to say about that too, but not really. I mean, it's really centered itself in that way. And I think I mentioned this on your show last week, in doing work towards the 2021 draft already, and not incredibly deep, but just looking at top prospects and things of that sort. I mean, to see how many of the top prospects are going to come from LSU, Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson, it's phenomenal. I mean, it is just absolutely.
Did we lose Mike?
I guess we just lost Mike, unfortunately. We lost Mike on the mic. So, yeah, Vince, I thought that comment from Spurrier was just classic. He just calls in and said, hey, let the ACC, SEC play. One of those teams win the national championship anyway. Let them go play.
It is vintage Steve Spurrier. But the Ohio State part of it is big because they're the one that has gotten in the mix and won it before as well. And I actually, going into this year, they were my pick to win it all, even over Clemson and Alabama. So they got double-digit draft picks on that roster and a bunch more that are candidates for it as well.
Mike, I wanted to ask you about this. I was reading an article about greatest NFL comebacks from injury, and I wanted to get your take on this. One mentioned Tom Brady, the torn ACL that he suffered back in 2008, week one. There was Dan Marino, who recovered from a torn Achilles tendon in 1993. Peyton Manning, 2010, he had to miss a season. He had multiple surgeries around his neck. Drew Brees, who injured his shoulder, San Diego lets him go, and he ends up having a great career with New Orleans. Which of those quarterbacks do you think had the greatest comeback from injury?
Peyton Manning. I mean, there's absolutely no question. If you look at where he was age-wise when it happened, if you look at the severity of the injury, I mean, Brady had an ACL. People come back from ACLs. The torn labrum that Brees had, he did a great – both those players did a great job coming back. Marino did a nice job coming back from the Achilles, but people come back from that. For what Peyton Manning had and for what he had to do to relearn to throw again, more or less, and to regain his confidence and his touch, knowing that he had limitations in terms of his feel, his grip, there was almost a second Peyton Manning career. I mean, in truth, you could almost put him into the Hall of Fame twice. He's a Hall of Famer with the Indianapolis Colts for what he did. Won a Super Bowl, MVP, you know, you got it. But then to come back and go to Denver, I mean, he had as productive a short career with Denver as Terrell Davis did with Denver and won a Super Bowl and set records. I mean, it was phenomenal. It, to me, is one of the most phenomenal comebacks in sports, period, because, you know, I don't know everything about the story, but I know some stuff. And I can just tell you what he did was courageous. It was incredibly detailed and disciplined. I mean, if you're a Peyton Manning fan, this should make you even more of a fan because it should not have happened. It should not have worked.
Mike, what do we have on the Titans podcast?
Oh, gosh, Jim Wyatt and Coach Mack, and we got all kinds of stuff going on right now. We're about to get back in the football groove because Friday, this Friday, 3 days from now, I'm actually going to be able to watch football practice. I can't believe it. I know, right? Like real football. What's going on right now, which is kind of interesting, is as the players are in this process of starting to do some things moving towards that practice tomorrow, they're having to do all of their things for the TV networks. So they're having almost a college-like media day over a period of about 72 hours due to the fact that the TV networks can't come into town. So, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I went to college at Tennessee, you know, or I went to high school or whatever, that, you know, I went to, you know, Liberty Junior High or whatever they like to say for Sunday Night Football. All of that is having to be done right now by the individual teams because the networks are not allowed to come into town and do all of that stuff. So, I mean, there are layers of this that are going on right now that continue to unfold, and we're talking about all of it on the OTP.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to visit with you. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Great hour. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Mike Keith with the Tennessee Titans. He joined us on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline.